I'm not sure tonight, boys and girls, mums and dads, if you're aware that every name has a meaning. I don't know if any of the children could put up their hand tonight and tell me what their name is, and then tell me what their name means. Could anybody do that tonight in the meeting? There's a girl there. What's your name? Jessica. And what does Jessica mean? Rich. Very good. I'll have to speak to you after the meeting. Help me through the Christmas list. I've still a bit of shopping to do. Jessica, lovely to have you. Anybody else, any other boys and girls know what their name might mean? Or maybe you want to know what your name means. I have a little book here beside Jessica. Do you your hand up? No? Sorry. Does anybody else have or want to know what their name means? I have a little book here called Baby's Names. Now, that doesn't mean that if I read your name out that you're a baby. But whenever we were expecting our children, we had this little book called Baby's Names, and we looked at it often. Do you want to know what your name means? What's your name? Jake. Okay, let's try and find Jake. H-I-J-K. Where are we? Jake. Variant of Jack, of Middle English origin, which has now come back into fashion as an independent given name. It is also sometimes used as a short form of Jacob. Okay, there you are. Jack is a pet form of John. Okay, now a very popular name given in its own right. What's your name? Natalia? Talia, T-A-L-I-A? Okay, hope this is here. I'm sure it will be, don't worry. Talia, T-A-L, Talia. Yeah, variant spelling of Talia and Talia, shortened of Natalia. We could be here all night trying to get the where it starts. Natalia, where are we? Yeah, Russian from the late Latin name Natalia, a derivative of Latin, birthday, especially Christ's birthday, Christmas, Noel. Saint Natalia was a Christian inhabitant of Nicomedia who is said to have given succor to the martyrs, including her husband Adrian, who suffered there in persecutions under Diocletian in 303. She is regarded as a Christian saint, although she herself was not yet martyred. So there you are. Do I have one more? Yeah, what's your name? Jamie. Okay, that should be here, no problem. Jamie, J-A-M-I-E. Originally a boy's name, a pet form of James, and so still used, especially in Scotland and Northumberland. It is now found also as a female equivalent of James, particularly in North America. And James, English form of the name borne in the New Testament by two of Christ's disciples, James the son of Zebedee and James the son of Alphaeus, derived from the late Latin, I'll not try to pronounce that, Jacobus, and is the same name as the Old Testament Jacob. Okay, so some of the names are found in the Bible. And I want to speak tonight for a little while upon one name that is above every other name. And that name is the name Jesus. There's a lovely hymn and it says, Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, devils fear and fly. And then there's one of my favorite hymns, and it says, Jesus is the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love the Savior's name. And I just want to leave a verse of scripture with you, and it's Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 21. And one of the children read it for us earlier, and it's the angel speaking to Joseph, and the angel Gabriel says to Joseph, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. And the reason why he's going to be called Jesus is he's going to save his people from their sins. Because the name Jesus means Savior. And the name Jesus came from the Old Testament Hebrew name Joshua. Just like some of the names mentioned tonight came from another name that meant something. And the name Jesus comes from the Old Testament Hebrew name Joshua, which means salvation is of Jehovah, or salvation is of the Lord. Now, could a really smart boy or girl tonight tell me how to spell the name Jesus? Does anybody think they know how to spell Jesus? Olivia?
J-E-S-U-S.
Very good. J-E-S-U-S. And the hymn writer said that Jesus, he came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all, and his shelter was a stable, and his cradle was a stall. He came down to earth. And I just want to take the word or the name Jesus tonight and take each letter and try to tell you some of the reasons. We'll not be able to cover them all, but we'll cover five of the main ones as to why Jesus Christ came. J-E-S-U-S. The letter J. Can anybody tell me tonight or give me a really good word that begins with the letter J? Anybody give me a good word tonight that begins with the letter J? Yeah, this boy here? Jackson, okay, very good. Yeah?
Jacob,
very good, yeah. Can you think of what? John, okay. A good word, yeah?
Joy,
very good. We'll come back to that in a wee minute, yeah?
Jack,
okay. And we'll have one more, yeah?
Jericho,
okay. But that word joy, that's a wonderful word. And everybody in this world is looking for joy and is looking for happiness. And the word Jesus begins with the letter joy, or J, and so does the word joy begins with the letter J. And one of the reasons that Jesus Christ came was to bring us joy, happiness, blessedness, and gladness. Whenever the shepherds were watching over their flocks that night in the field, the Bible says that suddenly there appeared an angel from heaven, and the angel spoke to the shepherds and said, "We bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And that's what they said. We bring you glad tidings, good news. And friends, tonight the word gospel means good news. And so that angel was telling these shepherds that night, "We come tonight to bring you the gospel. And the gospel is full of great joy. And this joy is for all people." That is, all people who will believe and all people who will trust. It's not just for Jewish people, but it's for Gentiles as well, people like you and me. It's not just for old people, but it's for young people. It's not just for people who go to church, but it's for people who never go to church. The gospel is for the whosoever. And the angel said, "Glad tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people." But you know, you have to look at the world tonight and ask yourself the question, in this world, is there really great joy? I don't know about you, but whenever I look at the news, or I go into the town to do some shopping, or I do some of the work that I do, I see a lot of people who don't have great joy. And we live in a world where a lot of people are filled with sadness, and others that are maybe filled with guilt, and others that are filled with fear, and they don't have this joy that the Bible speaks about, this great joy. And the reason for that is sin. Whenever we rebel against God and we go our own way and we think we know better than God and we think we can do it better than God tells us, that robs us of joy. Because sin brings guilt and fear and doubt and uncertainty and unhappiness into hearts and into lives. And the Bible says that in God's presence there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now that doesn't mean that if you're a Christian, every single thing that happens to you is a good thing. It doesn't mean that you always have a big silly smile on your face and you just rise above circumstances. But what it means is that whatever happens in life, deep down in your heart, you have this peace, this contentment, that you know God is in control, And you've got this gladness and this joy because you know that your sins have been forgiven, and you know that you're going to heaven, and you know that God is with you. And that's a wonderful thing, to have this wonderful joy. That's why Jesus Christ came, to give us joy. And then the next letter is the letter E. Now, can somebody give me a really good word that begins with the letter E? Emma? Eternal, brilliant. I'm going to come back to that as well, yeah? Easter, very good, yeah? Emmanuel, very good, well done. That means God with us, well done. Yeah? Enthusiastic, good word. That's probably the longest one we've had, yeah? A word beginning with E. Not sure? This wee girl here? Emma, very good. And, yeah? Energy, yeah, and your name as well, Ellie. Lots of good words that begin with the letter E. And there's some of the words that have been mentioned tonight that have reference to Jesus Christ. Somebody said this big word, Emmanuel. And the word Emmanuel is one of the Lord's names, and it means God with us. And so whenever Jesus Christ came into the world, God was with his people, because Jesus Christ was not only the Son of God, but he was also God the Son. And so whenever he came to Bethlehem, those who were there could really say, God is with us. And every person who's a Christian and who has trusted Jesus Christ and has received him can say that same thing, God is with me. And that's a wonderful thing. I really hope and I pray that every single person who's in this meeting tonight will one day, and even tonight, be able to say, if you've never been able to say it before, God is with me. But the word that I was thinking of that begins with the letter E is a little bit like the word eternal. It's the word everlasting. Well done. Now, can anybody in the meeting tonight tell me something that is everlasting? That's a hard one. Can you think of anything that is everlasting? Something that doesn't come to an end. Yeah. Everlasting life. Well done. Yeah. It's really hard to understand what it means whenever we use that word everlasting. Because everlasting just means it goes on and on and on and on, and it'll never end. Even after a million, 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 million years, it still hasn't come to an end, because everything that we know in this world comes to an end. Whenever I was a boy at school, I used to sit on a Friday afternoon in high school, and we had 3 periods of English literature back to back. 3 40-minute periods, 2 hours of English, and it just dragged on. And I used to look at my watch and think, this is never coming to an end. But you know, it always did. And then school days came to an end. And then I went to college, and I studied there for a couple of years, and that came to an end. And then summer holidays come to an end. And then we enter into working life, and we maybe work up to 60 or 65 or 70, and then that comes to an end. And then life comes to an end. And everything that we've ever experienced in this world, it comes to an end. And then we're out into eternity, and it never ends. Time just stops, and we're in one of two places forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. We're either in heaven with Christ or in a lost hell, a lost eternity without Christ. But Jesus came to give joy, and he came to give everlasting life. Life that never ends in heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And what a wonderful thing that would be. Not life in this earth as we know it, with all of its sickness and sorrow and suffering and sadness and separation, but life in heaven without sin, without sickness, without sadness, without separation, everlasting life in paradise with the Savior. And the wonderful thing is that it's a gift. It's free. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then you've got the letter S. Can anybody give me a good big word that begins with the letter S? Yeah, you had your hand up first. Sin, okay, good, yeah. Julianne, is that? Salvation, yeah, that's what we're going to come to, yeah. Sarah, okay, very good, yeah. Sand, okay, like that, yeah. This boy here? Sea, and Emma? Savior, very good. This girl here has got her hand up.
Superhero.
What was that?
Superhero.
Superhero, okay. Very good. And one more.
Survive.
Well done, that's a good word. Yes, yeah, some great words there. And many of them we could relate to the Lord Jesus. Somebody mentioned the word sin. Jesus came to take away our sin. Somebody mentioned superhero. Well, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is greater than any superhero you could ever think of, because he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. And then somebody mentioned the word Savior, and that's what Jesus is and that's what Jesus means. And then this great word, salvation. No, you can't get to heaven without S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. You can't get to heaven without it. Now, you could go to church all of your life and still not get to heaven. You could try to read the Bible every year from Genesis to Revelation, and that would be a good thing, but still not get to heaven. You could try really hard to be a really, really good person and never try. I'll try not to tell lies, and I'll try not to lose my temper, and I'll try not to steal, and I'll try to think the right thoughts, and I'll try to be nice to everybody, and that would be a good thing. And you could do that and still not get to heaven, because you need, and I needed, what the Bible calls salvation. And salvation is God's act of rescue. If I was out swimming in the sea in Port Stewart, and a big wave came in, and it just dragged me away out to sea, and I was being taken further and further and further away from the shore, and then I began to realize I'm lost, I can't swim against the tide, I'm starting to sink, and then a lifeboat comes along, and a man throws me a life preserver, or a life ring, or better than that, he jumps in himself, and he pulls me up out of the water, and he puts me in the lifeboat, and he brings me back. That's an act of rescue. That's an act of salvation, deliverance. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more, overwhelmed by guilt within, mercy I did implore. But then the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry. Christ, my Savior, lifted me. Now safe am I. And that's salvation. And the Scripture tells us in Acts chapter 4 concerning Jesus Christ, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. There's only one Savior. And whenever God saw this world, a world full of sadness in need of joy, a world that is coming to an end, and people that are going to die that need everlasting life, God sent a Savior. And that Savior was his own Son. And he went all the way, boys and girls, parents as well, to a cross. And on that cross, he suffered terrible agony. And he shed his precious blood. And he took our sins. And he made them as if they were his very own. And he died the just, one who was righteous and holy, for the unjust, people like me who were vile and sinful, that he might bring me to God. Jesus came to give joy, everlasting life, salvation, and then the letter U. Somebody give me a big word or a good word begins with U, yeah?
Understanding.
Very good, you're one step ahead. Can you think of any other words beginning with the letter U, yeah?
U.
U, very good, yeah, like a U-turn on the road, good, yeah, Olivia?
United.
What was that, United? Yeah, very good.
Universe.
Universe, these are good words, yeah. Yeah, this boy here? You.
Umbrella,
good one, yeah. We'll have one more. Anybody else got a word beginning with you? Yeah?
I've got one for E as well as you.
Have you? Well, give me them both then.
U is undeserving.
Yeah.
And E is expecto.
Very good, this boy's really good, yeah. Undeserving. And boys and girls, that's what I was. I was undeserving. I didn't deserve anything that God could give me. And this Jesus that looked down at me, an undeserving sinner, he was the one that created the whole universe. And that's been mentioned as well. He created all things, but he came to give to me understanding. That's why I hope we go to school, is to learn. And Jesus Christ came into the world to bring joy and everlasting life and salvation and offer up that life upon a cross. But he also came to give me understanding. And he came to show people who God is, what God is like, because the scripture says that concerning Jesus, now here's a wonderful verse, that in him dwelleth all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's quite a verse. And that literally means that in Jesus Christ, we see everything that God is. Because people have their own ideas about God, and they like to think they know all about God, but the scripture says in Romans chapter 3, there is none that understandeth, and there is none that seeketh after God, and there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And Jesus Christ came into the world to give to us this understanding. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And because I couldn't understand who I was without God, and how my sin had cut me off from God, and how there was nothing I could do to bring myself to God, and that God is holy, and God is just, and I'll stand before God one day, I needed someone to show me the way. And Jesus Christ is the way, and the truth, and the life. And maybe tonight you've got questions. Why am I here? Where did I come from? Where am I going when I die? What happens after death? If there's a God, what's he like? How can I know him? How can I be reconciled to him? Or how can I, as somebody used the word, how can I be united to my God? Jesus Christ answers all of those wonderful questions. He created us. And the reason he created us was that we might live for him and love him and fellowship with him and enjoy him. And if there's a God, and there is a God, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he died to bring us to God. And I can get to know God by putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And he's also given us this wonderful book, the Bible. So if there's something I need to know and I don't understand it, I can come to the Bible, and if I need to know it, if it's not just idle curiosity, but something I really need to know, I can find the answer in the Bible. Jesus came to give joy, everlasting life, salvation, understanding, and then the letter S again. Can you think of a letter or a word beginning with S that hasn't been used, Harry? Sin, yeah, good one. Saved, yeah. Satisfied, very good, yeah. Sister, yep, okay, yep. S. Sink. Oh, sleep, okay, very good, yeah. Snow, okay, I like these are all good, yeah. Seed. Yeah. Oh, seek, very good, sorry, yeah. Salvation, yeah, we've mentioned some of those already. And we can think about some of those words that have been mentioned again. Snow, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be whiter than snow. Seek, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Sin, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And then this word, and that's the word that I was thinking of, the word satisfy or satisfaction. That's maybe a hard word for us to explain or to understand. But say I was really busy one day, and I come in, or you come home from school, and you'd been really busy, and you'd forgot your packed lunch, and you know dinner money or dinner ticket, and you come home from school, and you're absolutely starving, and your stomach was empty, and you were thinking, I would just love it if there was burgers and chips and sausages and chicken goujons and crisps on the side and loads of ice cream to finish with and a big glass of Coke. That would really satisfy this emptiness, this hunger that's in my heart or my stomach. And then you come in and there's a bowl sitting and it's got nothing in it but lettuce leaves and a glass of water. And you say, that is never going to satisfy this hunger that I have. And every single one of us, if we're honest tonight before God and with ourselves, we have something inside of us that needs to be satisfied. There's a hunger there. There's an emptiness there. There's a void there. There's something inside every single man, woman, boy and girl brought into this world that needs to be filled. Some people try to fill it with money. Some people try to fill it with religion. Some people try to fill it with pleasure. Some people try to fill it with relationships. Some people try to fill it with cars and houses and material things. But whenever all is said and done, the hymn writer was right. None but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love, there's life, and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Jesus Christ came to bring joy. Glad tidings of great joy for all people. Came to give everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He came to bring salvation. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to give understanding. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But he came to bring satisfaction. John 10 and verse 10. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Maybe you say tonight, well, I could do with a bit of joy. And I would like to have everlasting life. And I would like to know that my sins are forgiven and that I'm saved. And I would like to know more about God. And I would like to understand more. And I would like to have this satisfaction that you're talking about. How do I receive all of this? Do I pay for it? Do I try to do my best or whatever? No, there's a lovely verse in John 1:12, and with this I finish. John 1 verse 12 says, but as many, and that includes anyone that comes, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And there are two words in that verse that sound alike, the word believe and the word receive. And if you want joy, everlasting life, salvation, understanding, satisfaction, what do? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe what the Bible says about him. You believe that he died for you, rose again for you, is alive forevermore. And in believing, you trust in him. And then you receive him the same way you would receive a gift. Or if somebody had gone away on a long journey and you received them back into your house or family or home, you receive them. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to believe and receive. To turn from our sin and to trust and to take Jesus Christ into our lives, into our hearts, and to ask him to be our Savior, Lord, and Master. What a wonderful year it would be for you to end by receiving the Lord Jesus, this name, this person that is far above and beyond any other person. Now, time is gone, so let's just have a word of prayer together and let's close our eyes and let's just talk to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we give you thanks and praise tonight for sending thy Son into this world. We thank thee, O God, that where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. And O God, we pray that meek souls tonight would receive him and that the dear Christ would enter in. We pray, O God, that you will bless every boy and every girl. Bless every child that comes to Sunday school, every teenager. Remember every father and mother. And grant, O God, that every person in this meeting house tonight might receive and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, just do us good and help us now as we sing our closing hymn. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. It's number 85 in our hymn book, so I'll go up to the pulpit again. You can find the place. Hymn number 85. Hymn number 85, and we'll just stand together as we sing the first two verses of this hymn, and we'll stand in just a moment after we, get the music. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. Hymn number 85, verse 1 and verse 2. Let's stand as we sing the first two verses. I'd like to thank you all, boys and girls, for listening so well. You've done so well tonight, and for listening so quietly and so attentively. If we can help anybody tonight in any way, you can let us know after the meeting. Father, just part us now with thy blessing. Take us our separate ways in safety. And Lord, in the midst of all of the festivities at this time of year, grant, O God, that we might make room in our lives, in our homes and families, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Answer prayer. We pray these things in his precious and worthy name. Amen. Thank you.